Like, sometimes you're tired, sometimes you slept bad, sometimes you're hurting. Like, there are things that happen in your life and you're not going to be able to be motivated all the time. And I also think motivation is overrated. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Annie.
Shooting episode 3 of our podcast. It's so good to see you.
I love, and I talked about this last time too, that I'm not in Iceland now. I'm up living in Idaho, and we have these touch points. I mean, we're always talking, but this is just an extra touch point that we have every week that we get to sit down and chat. And I love this time with you, Annie.
Oh, so do I. So do I. And I'm actually like kind of excited about the topic that we chose today.
I am too.
We chose to talk about how it is to stay in the game for so long, how it is to be a professional athlete, and kind of just like behind the scenes a little bit, what goes into it. Because I think very few people actually realize what it is that we do on a daily basis. And I'm not going to say that it's not awesome being a professional athlete. I love saying that I'm a professional athlete.
Best thing in the world. But I agree with you. I don't think it's not a 9-to-5 job. We never get to turn our clock off. Our clock is always on.
Exactly. And even when it's off, well, I'm actually pretty good at shutting it off and just like... I'm allowed to allow myself and like enjoy and just be, and especially like after our competition and all of that. But then it's like, okay, for how long should you do this? When should you get your body moving again? How is my body feeling? How is my mind doing? Like, where am I at? And also just like when you've done it year after year, how it is to continue to be motivated. I feel like one of the most common question I get is how do you stay motivated all the time? And that's also kind of a topic that I think is really good to talk about, because I'm not motivated all the time. And no one is motivated all the time. And I think that's important to realize that it's not... I think very few people wake up every single day and are like, oh my God, I cannot wait to... start my day and go to work. Like, yes, I wake up and I'm excited to start my day, but like sometimes I don't feel like doing exactly what's on my programming. And like sometimes you're tired, sometimes you slept bad, sometimes you're hurting. Like, there are things that happen in your life and you're not going to be able to be motivated all the time. And I also think motivation is overrated.
I totally agree. And I think that's where, like, when you're not motivated, discipline needs to come into action. And the other side is like when you have something that you burn for and you have something that you're so passionate about and you have something that you can't wait to go work on. And that's talking about a big picture. So not just like, I can't wait to go do my row intervals today. Like, they actually freak me out. I get so nervous to do them because I burn for the bigger picture. I burn for my goals and I want to do that. And they always pull you through. So no matter if you want to do it or not, that always pulls you and that always gets you excited to come out of bed. And that this is also a bigger topic, but like one thing that I'd love to instill in my children, if there's one thing I want to instill in them, like I want them to have a passion for something and they wake up and they just, that's their thing. That's what they burn for. That's their fire. And I want them to find that in their life because I love that I get to wake up with mine. That's such and whether it be my kids or you or anybody in my family, I want them to have their thing. And I think that's such a powerful thing. And that will override motivation when you don't have it, when you have your discipline and when you have your goal. That's when you get up and you still do it because that's what you want to work towards.
Exactly. I think motivation almost comes second. It's like, yes, you can create some sort of motivation by watching motivational videos, by watching something that you've accomplished even, or like hyping yourself up. Yes, you can definitely make yourself motivated. But I think the best way to get motivated is you just know that you're going to show up. And once you're there, usually you start feeling like you want to do more and more. Now I'm talking in the gym, but just in life in general, it's usually, Even when you're tired and you feel like snuggling in bed and not going to see your friends, usually if you just kick yourself in the butt, you get ready, you get out the door, it's like, oh, you get yourself in the gear and you start having fun and you'll forget that you're tired. And the same is going to happen if you push yourself, you get to the gym, you start warming up, and then all of a sudden it's like on the days where I'm the most tired, I take a little bit longer for warm up, I take a little bit longer for chatting and like having fun, and then all of a sudden I'm like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to work hard right now. So I think we create motivation by showing up and doing the work that we plan on doing. That's at least how I look at it. I look at it as I just try to make the most out of the days that I have.
I think it's very much of creating an identity for yourself, like creating an identity that we are hardworking, that we are disciplined, that this is what we do. Because then you think about it, because you're so right, there are days that you're just like, it's so hard to get, like in between sessions you sit down and it's so hard to get back off of the couch, you're tired. Okay. It might be the third day on before a rest day, it's been a big training week or maybe even like a big period. But let's play this out. I know neither one of us has done this, but let's play this out, that we just gave into it. We'd be like, you know what? I'm just going to sit on the couch today. We would feel absolutely horrible because that's not who we want to be. That's not who we identify ourselves with. And we'd be very disappointed in our actions, because our actions, and I think this is, I heard this on another podcast, like integrity is the distance between the words in your mouth and the way that you live. And I love that, because then if we're saying these things, we have these goals, we want to act in this manner, and we don't, we are incredibly disappointed with who we are, because that's, we have more integrity than that. We want to live up to how, to our standards and our expectations of ourselves. So I think that's also, I try and think about that, of like, I know that if I go to the gym, I'm going to be proud of myself, because that's who I want to be. That's the way that I want to act and the way that I want to show up. And when I go do those things, that's when I'm going to be so proud of myself. And I don't think I've ever not come back like happy and be like, oh, I'm really happy with myself. And I think that's the facing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And like when you said that, like let's say that you would decide not to go to a gym, like I would feel so guilty, and I would just feel so guilty. So even on the days where maybe it's even smart not to go to the gym, like I know that it's not smart, but it's like, there's very seldom where you have those days, but those days might be if you have horrible night's sleep and your body is like, something is like close to maybe it's becoming an injury, or like you've had really hard days and you need to listen to your body. But then most of the time it would be me talking to Yami and Frederick, and we would adjust the training so that it would be something that would be smart for me to do, that I would get the benefit from doing, instead of me just like not going. Or if I'm getting sick, I would even need them to help me make that call so that I wouldn't feel guilty about making the call, like I'm gonna stay home and go to sleep. Like I need them to give me the stamp of approval. The smart thing is to stay at home and go to sleep. Don't go to the gym. And then I'm like, okay.
Yes. Love that you brought that up, because also there's such a big difference between not wanting to do something and not shouldn't do something. Those are two very different things. So what the scenarios we were just talking about, that's not wanting to go. And then you should go. But just to be completely honest, and this is just opening up, like my back was hurting last week, and I told you about that, Annie, and like I did not do my second session Friday, and that was the best thing for me to do. I shouldn't push it and then not be able to, maybe that would have taken me out for the weekend or for this week. And I actually gave myself a little bit of rest that I felt like I needed. I wanted to go to the gym, but the best thing to do was not to go, and actually had an incredible week, and I do feel like my back was able to recover so well. So it's like sometimes it's a harder, like you just said, it's a harder thing for us to do, is to make those decisions. But that's also, it's a clear distinction of like, is it because you just don't want to, or is it because you actually can? And that is a huge differentiator that I want to be clear, that we're not pushing people to go when you really you're sick or you're injured.
Exactly. No,
Knowing the
yeah.
difference. Yeah. And then I also love that this is something we talked about too. And we've talked about like wanting to share this, like, especially like you talk about like our moms or our families and like something that I feel like we are so fortunate about with our sport is how diverse it is that there's always something that you can do. And not every sport is, if you're a, let's say, you can probably find this in any sport. We just don't know this as well. But let's say we have something going on with our shoulders and those shoulders are aching. And we've both been through that and we went through that together actually, is that there's always, instead of not being able to go to the gym, there's always something that you can do. Then we can go work on our running. Then we can go work on our squatting. Then we can go work on our lower body. We can work on our core. There are so many things that when something's going on and when something's hurting, or even if you're low on energy, there's always something that you can do. And I think
Exactly.
that spark some sort of motivation is that because I understand that when your body's hurting and when something's hurt or when you're tired, yes, you're not going to want to go to the gym. You're not going to want to do something and you're going to be like, my back is really hurting. But you can go and you can stretch and you can go and you can start walking or biking. There's always something to do. And as long as, like you said, you get yourself to the gym once you're moving, you suddenly start feeling like, oh, I can do this and I can do that.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it is. That is probably when it's been the hardest for me to be motivated is when I'm injured because you wake up and something's hurting and you are like, I don't know what to do. Like, I get jealous of the people at the gym that are doing the things that I want to be doing.
Crazy feeling.
It's insane. But that's when you have to be like, okay, you have to be smart, you have to be patient, and we have to figure out what it is that I can do. And then we can make a good program around that. And as long as I can get the focus on, like, okay, now I'm going to then work on, like you said, it was really interesting that both me and Kat had like shoulder issues the after the games the same year, and neither one of us could even hang from a pull-up bar. We were like freaking out a little bit. Like, there were a few tears that were shed a couple of times there. But it was a great opportunity for us to then work on our leg strength. Both of us had to work on our leg strength. So we just went on a crazy ass squat program and we were able to do some nasty bike intervals and running. There was honestly so many things that we figure out that we could do. And it is so hard to work on everything when you're in CrossFit because there are so many things. So I feel like when I had my back injury, my shoulders got so strong that I feel like they became my biggest strength. And I feel like my shoulders are like I have gained from that for the rest of my career. Obviously, my shoulders were strong from gymnastics as well, but they got extra strong there because I was doing narrow grip bench press and lying like bench with my legs up in the beginning and then gradually able to do more and more. And then dumbbell work and shoulder presses and seated shoulder presses. So there was no way to cheat anything. And it was the strongest my shoulders have ever gotten was after my back injury. So it's like you can always, I know it's so hard, but you can always figure something out.
That's so true.
So.
That's so true. And just back to like our original conversation about longevity in the sport, like something
Yeah.
that this is always like amazing to me, Annie, but I started CrossFit because I saw you win the CrossFit Games and I wanted to be like you. Like how, like, and I feel like I've had a relatively long career. You know, like I've been in the sport for of 11 years now, over 11 years. And when I started, you were standing on the top of the podium. So that's wild to me. And we've had our ups and our downs and our incredibly motivated, fiery seasons and seasons where we really had to like pull ourselves through. And we've stood on top of the podium and we've done that again. And like we have come off of the podium and like there's been all of these like flows through our career. And somehow still we're still sitting here, still going and aiming for the same goal, wanting to be the best and still just loving this. And that's such a, it's such a wild thought to me, because I honestly didn't, I don't think I would have seen myself in this for so long.
No,
You know, like I
exactly.
cool. You
Yeah,
know?
exactly. Same. I was also planning on going back to school. Like, that's actually what I'm kind of interested in asking you. When you started, like, how many years did you think you were going to do this for? Was like, oh, I'm just going to try this out? Or were you like, I'm going to be a professional CrossFit athlete?
So when I wanted to do what you did, like I literally saw you at the CrossFit Games and I'm like, that's what I want to do. So I started with like a clear, like I was not coming into the gym for like recreational exercise, recreational sport or exercising. I was coming in to compete. And that's just something that like I just love competing and I love competition. I love like stacking myself up next to somebody else. So like when I started CrossFit, I was a gymnast. I'd done some track and like when I was a gymnast, I don't think I really liked gymnastics. I liked the conditioning part of it. And the same with track. I didn't even, when competition season came around, there wasn't even really an event that I wanted to do. I just loved the training and loved the build-up season because that was full of like, the intervals and the gym days and the weight training days and stuff like that. And that's what I loved. So when I then started CrossFit, that was like, wow, this is like a sport made for me. It's like everybody's doing it for time and as fast as you can. And like, it's this conditioning, all like that's the sport. Like, that was so cool. So I remember coming in like with that goal in mind of like, I want to go to the CrossFit Games. Not that I think it's kind of a wild thought to like say you want to be the best in the world. So that one didn't come
Not right
nearly.
away.
No,
Okay.
no.
But
How about,
what does your family think about this?
oh, my family pushed me into it. My family did.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's actually my mom and my grandma that when you were on the news, and this was all over the news and all over the media in Iceland when you were on the podium or when you won.
Yeah.
And I was kind of in like a, I quit gymnastics when I was 16. I kind of started track. I kind of went back to gymnastics because I wasn't like finding my event in track. And then I was just kind of like, I spent a summer at a Globo gym and I loved it. I was doing spin classes and I would do my intervals on a Stairmaster machine and one of those. I would get after it in the Globo gym, but I was still missing that like it was exercising. There wasn't like the
Yeah.
sport of it, you know, and I love that like the sport and the something to like aim for part of it. And I think they could feel that like I needed the competition and I needed the like the goal. And I've just always been that way. And they were actually watching and they're like, maybe you should try that. Like, why don't you try that? Like I think you could be good at that. That's literally what they said. And I was like, and I remember like I called the gym that you were at and like in my memory it feels like the next day, but it was probably like a couple weeks later. But like that's what it felt like. And my family was so incredibly supportive and like excited for me. And very early on I was competing in the little like the local competitions all around Iceland and like
Yeah.
doing one of those. So that was like that kept like pushing me forward. And I think it was just a couple months later that I was competing and it was like half weightlifting and half competition and half CrossFit competition. And you came to it and I won the competition. I remember that was the one where you and Frederick were like, hey, like we're training tomorrow. Like, do you want to join us? And that was the first time that like you invited me to come train with you. And I was so like I was so nervous and so excited. And that was the first time that you were like, hey. And I'm actually like, I talked about this on a podcast. I was like, I think this is one of the coolest things that you've always done. When you see like potential, when you see somebody young that just like that just loves what they're doing and they're just working hard. Like you always invite them and you still do this to this day, like at CrossFit Reykjavik. You invite them to come train with you. And like I don't
Yeah.
know that you know how much that means to them or to me at that point. Like how big that is and how much that can like pull and drive you forward. That
Oh,
was
that's so
such,
cool to hear.
yeah, that's so like I love that about you, Annie. And like I know what it did for me and I see that in like there's like an excitement, there's a little bit of like you're Annie Thor's daughter, like she's inviting me to go train. Oh, like you want to like train like a higher standard. So,
That's
yeah, so
very
that was.
cool.
What about you?
Well, I was kind of, I guess, a little bit similar to you. I had really never really thought about it when you were like, oh, you were doing like this in that sport. And you always like the, I don't know, the build-up phase every time. Like, that's really funny because I think most people would not like that part. But I did love that part in gymnastics, like the trick is called. It's like when you were doing like all the rope climbs and all the pistols and all the like accessory stuff, I thought was really, really fun. Yeah, exactly. And I guess I was like, yeah, similar. I was in pole vaulting and did ballet and like it was all really fun. But I needed to compete more. I needed like that, yeah, the competition of it and the variety. Like I had to do more things. So I was always doing like boot camp and something alongside it. And then my mom and Evern, my co-owner at CrossFit Reykjavik, they actually like kind of pushed me to compete in a CrossFit competition. And that's kind of how I got into all of it. But I never planned on being a professional athlete. My plan was to become a doctor, but I was going to take 1 year away when I finished school. I was like, okay, before I start medicine, I'm going to have 1 year where I'm just like doing a little bit more of what I want to do, and gave myself a chance. Like after I competed at the CrossFit Games 2009, I wanted to give myself just like a chance to train CrossFit, see what it's all about. And I really wanted, like from the very beginning, after the Games 2009, I was like, it would be the coolest thing ever to be able to walk around and be like, hey, I'm the fittest woman in the world. So that was my drive. I was like, I think I might be able to get this title. I'm going to be the one that walks around with like a sign that whole year. I'm the fittest woman in the world. Yeah, it's like really cool to be able to say that. And then I competed at the games 2010 and I got second place. I don't think I really realized that I could win, but with getting second place, I was determined that I could win. I was determined that if I would actually fully commit to this, I could win because I was still, I'm not gonna say like goofing around, but didn't have like crazy structured programming. I was still doing sometimes even when I did a work, like I looked at the workout of the day and then I would do the workout, and then because I didn't have that much maybe to compare to in times, I would maybe redo the workout again and try to go faster. So like try to beat my own score just like 10, 15 minutes later. So I trained quite a bit like that. And then I had some great company while I was doing it. Like I had great training partners there as well that were willing to push me, people that were so good at pushing me when it came to running, like Svimpia and then Elvar, like those guys in boot camp, they were really good runners. And then I did BUTS. That was like a higher level boot camp. They were like starting to lift some weights and do some more brutal workouts. So I think that trained my mind really well. But I never believed that I would be in this for this long. And I still sometimes, even now, I won the games, and that was like this huge thing. I accomplished my goal. And then it was really weird, like, because I had this crazy drive and motivation to get that goal from 2010 to 2011. That was like such a drive factor. And then I wanted to win the games again. But to be honest, that was probably one of my harder years at the games because the pressure I put on myself was so big on needing to win again. Anything else would be kind of like a failure. So that was, I had to kind of start thinking about why I was doing this and start to figure out a little bit more my path in it. But again, I didn't really think that I would continue. And especially after I got my back injury the year after, that's when I realized that it might not even be up to me how long I wanted to do this for, that it would be my body or others just getting better than me in that time. I didn't know if I would be able to make it back from that injury because everyone else would continue to get better, but I would have a year where I wouldn't get any better. I was just trying to recover. So it's always that like mind battle on staying in it. And for me after that, it's always just been one more year and one more year. And I've actually asked my parents that as well because I was really curious, like, what did you think about me wanting to do this instead of becoming a doctor? Like, they never pushed me to do anything else. They always supported me, full-heartedly supported me in what I was doing. I've always had that from them. And it was really cool. My mom just answered that she knew that if I wouldn't be doing as good as I was doing, I would have like stopped and I would have gone into medicine. She never doubted that I would not be able to get back to school and start studying. So she never really worried about it. She knows how competitive I am and knows my personality. So she was just like, I will support you 100% in this while this makes you happy. And we've had to have some serious talks about if this is still making me happy at certain points. But I think that's something that just, that's life, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I've been fortunate enough that I've had very good support, but I didn't make me feel like everyone understood me wanting to do this from some of the other friends' circles from school and stuff like that. If they thought it was maybe it was even just me reading into it, then they knew that I wanted to be a doctor. And it's like, are you choosing to do this instead? Really?
Yeah.
Like, are you never going to educate yourself more? But that's also something that I've made sure that I continue to do. I continue to try to educate myself, but now it's just on more specific things. It's more, it has so much to do with the body, but I try to learn about every time something comes up. I learn about it. I feel like I become semi-specialist in injuries, the ones that I've had. And the mindset, I try to, like, I've studied that so much now on how to stay motivated. And I think that's like such a big part of it throughout these years. And I think that's something that we've also talked about is that we're doing this while we enjoy doing this. And I think when it's the hardest for me, I try to remember that I don't have to do this. I get to do this. I am fortunate enough that I get to be here. And when I'm stressed competing at the CrossFit Games, I effing work my ass off to be here. And I get to compete at the highest level. I don't have to be in these shoes. I can quit whenever I want to. I don't want to. Yeah, I am so grateful to be where I am. And I'm so grateful that I get to do this. It's crazy that I get to do this. And then after having Freya, I thought that would be the end of my career. Maybe I would come back to masters or something, but I never thought that I'd be able to compete at the same level again. And then I just am still here. So I think it's funny when people ask me that. Yeah, exactly. People ask me like, so when are you quitting? I'm like, I don't know. And I don't think I'm ever going to be the athlete that's going to say officially, put my shoes down and be like, this is it. I am done. Because I don't want to do that and take away from myself if I might want to do it again. But I've thought it multiple times. This is my last year. I've even cried at the CrossFit Games because in my mind, it was the last year I was competing. Never in public, but I've done it in my hotel room with Frederick. Like, it's so weird. This is my last time competing. He's like, let's just see, babe. Let's just see.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's because it is such a big thing, right? And that was kind of what we started this talk on. It's for me, because I have such support from my family. Frederick, my boyfriend, has boyfriend, partner, like later on husband. It's kind of like a husband. We've been together for 10 years. I feel like it's a team decision if I compete again or not. Because I need the support from all of them because I'm not doing it by myself. And there are certain sacrifices, if you want to call it that, or adjustments that you need to take because I can't just go on vacations when I want to go on vacations. Like, go Yes, I've made a decision that we go to Florida or we go to Spain, and then maybe we're only training once a day some of those days, but we still need to stay on top of our diet. We still need to stay on top of our body. We still need to stay on top of our sleep. Like, I'm not going to come back completely trashed, but I can certainly enjoy these things. And
Yes.
I think that's one of the reasons of my longevity is that I've been able to enjoy these years, that it's not there. I realized that 1 year, I realized that I was getting, I've never really fully understood depression until I had like a small postpartum depression. We'll get to that on another point. But I got what I think is like close to that 1 year where I was just so obsessed. I think it was 2016 after my heat stroke. I was so obsessed with training. My knees were hurting. My back was a little stiff at a certain period. So we would go training in the morning, train for like 3 hours. I would go home, have food and sleep. I would go for the second session, 2 to 3 hours. And then I would come home and I would have to like get some food. And then I would have to work on my body and stretch and do mobility and make sure that I would be ready to train the day after. The only people I wanted to see was kind of my parents, every once in a while, my friends, but I never wanted to be out too late because I wanted to make sure I would be in bed early enough. And when we've been talking about going to IKEA for 2 weeks, and always I postpone until let's do it another day. I can't do it today. Let's do it another day. I can't do it today. And when I realized I had done that for 2 weeks, I was like, there's something wrong. I didn't feel like I had time in my day to go to IKEA and buy new plates. And that's crazy, right? Of course you have time for that. It's a 10-minute drive for me to go there. It's not like I'm in the States either where I need to maybe drive for an hour to get to that, to the nearest IKEA. I was close to it. It would not take longer than maybe 40 minutes. But I was like, my feet are gonna get tired from walking around. I was like fully obsessed with making sure that I would get the most out of everything that I did. And I realized I had to get out of this loop because I wasn't happy. And I think that's one of the things that I also try to talk about to people that are all in on CrossFit, and especially if you're young. It's great to be all in, and I want you to be able to bet fully on yourself, not keep something, not have something in the back of your mind where it's like you were doing this at the same time, so maybe that's why you're not doing so good at the games when you get to there. Know that you did everything that you could. But also, you have to be happy to be successful, in my opinion. You have to enjoy some of the, at least for me, and I think for most people, we have to be able to enjoy some of the things that we do. But this is a little bit getting to know what it is that goes into this. Even when we go on vacations, even when it's weekend, even when I go to the summer house, I still make sure that I get my training in. I still make sure that I'm fueling properly. I'm not just if we're bringing things from the bakery and we're having cake and bread and all of that stuff, I'll have my Skyr bowl first or protein shake and make sure that I get enough protein and then I can get my carbs and fats on top of that. And of course, I have my cheat days, but I don't think people realize all the hours that go into this. Not just the hours that go into training, but that go into fueling and sleeping and physiotherapy and body work and stretching and scraping and mobility. Like, it's so many things, especially the older you get, the more of these things you need to do. So I didn't think my body would hold up for these many years, but here I am and I feel fantastic. Now I just did a crazy rant, Ken. Take it away,
So,
girl.
no, I actually want to like take a deeper dive into like I love everything that you said and it's so true. And so want to like let's talk about winning because a lesson that we both learned through that, we wanted it was so important to us. We wrote it in our children's book and it was part of Freya's journey of what she was learning and she was obsessed with her thing and her goal. And I think it's like this thing that you can get so obsessed with. Like you want to win. You want to be the best in the world. And I think it's, if we go back a little bit, I think both of us agree that we had a very different experience the first time we won and the second time we won, and then maybe some years after that. I like, for me, the first time I won in 2015, I didn't have it in my head that I was going to win. I had it in my head that I was going to be the absolute best that I was capable of. And that was all. I just loved what I was doing. It was kind of the first year that I almost accidentally, I'd been in university just like you. And I was coaching full time. I was a full time law student and I was trying to do this full time and I wasn't doing anything well. So I decided to give myself one semester off. And this is in January of 2015. So I kind of like, it was the first time, and I went to the States, so I wasn't coaching anymore. So all I had was training. And I didn't even really have, I mean, I made friends there, but when I first went, I didn't even really have any friends there either. So really, I kind of just like got into this bubble and this environment where I was going to bed earlier. I was training. I was doing recovery in between sessions because I was at the gym all day. So I kind of was doing all of these right things and just young and really excited about what I was doing. Like, this was like the shiny object. And I remember, like, I had this written down. I had this on bracelets, like, be the best me. And I just wanted to be the best. So I wasn't panicking when somebody was better, or I just wanted to be the best me. And that's what I did at the games. Every event, I wanted to get every single point that I could out of every event, get everything out of me that I could in an event. So, like, I remember coming off of the floor in 15th place, and it was as if I'd won the games. I was so happy. It was a big smile. That was a win of my weekend. But then I've also come off the floor in events, and I've won events that I was like, it was, do you remember that event that was like handstand walking and yoke and like a prowler? And those are just all in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And I just hit the event and I won. And I was like, I even questioned, I was like, could I have gone faster? So like, I'm so satisfied when I push myself to the limits and I know it was my absolute best. So like, it doesn't even always have to do with a leaderboard. So in 2015, all I was doing was trying to be my best. There was no like attention on me. Nobody expected that from me. I was coming off of a year of not having made the game. So there was nobody talking about me. There was no media on me. Like, there was no pressure. Like, it was just me versus me.
And it's kind of the best circumstances to compete, right?
Yes. So then you end up, and it was maybe a little bit different because you have come off a second place finish your first year, but end up winning the games. And then that becomes the standard. And that's really scary when the standard becomes winning the games, because then even a second place finish starts to seem like a failure. And you have to win. And if you don't win, it's a failure. And that's a really, really tough. Everything's a double-edged sword. And I believe that it really, really pushed me. It really did that year. And I wanted to prove that it wasn't an accident that I had won. I wanted to prove that we belonged there. And I worked my ass off. But there's also, and here I say the double-edged sword of, like, you start, like, you do start tightening up. And you do start being like, what if this and what if that? And, like, doubts start creeping in. And people are watching you. And there's all of this pressure. So I would say that my second year winning was more meaningful, and there's just a trillion of reasons behind that, but some of it, that it was so much tougher, that it was so much harder, and it was so much more that you had to battle in your mind. And then there's, and after that, I took a fifth, and that's, holy smokes, that felt like a far fall and a big failure. But and through all
that's
of this,
crazy.
But all through all of this, you kind of learn that, like, we have winning as, like, this pinnacle, like, big, bright thing that we all work for. And it's really, when you work your ass off for something and you end up in first place, it's a great validation and it's an awesome feeling. And, yeah, it tells you, like, you did something right. Like, it's a big clap on the back. Like, continue doing what you're doing. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, and it might sound really strange, but it isn't everything. And it isn't the moment when you get the gold around your neck. That isn't gold medal around your neck. That isn't like the greatest thing. That isn't like the moment that you're so happy, at least for me. And I'd love to ask you yours, but when I got the gold medal, I'm flooded with the support from my family, my training partners, those tough days when somebody was like, I'll do this with you, like you pick you up, like the days that you got yourself through, the mental battles that you fought through, the days in there with your coach. You're flooded, literally, I was flooded with the journey and the people that were on it with me. That was what the gold medal like represented to me. And that kind of shows you, like, I know it's a cliche thing, and like, I remember this was you used to say this all the time, enjoy the journey. I used to say, be the me, and you were always like, enjoy the journey. And it's so, as cliche as it is, it's so true, because the journey is the gold medal. Because I play the opposite in your mind, play that you win the games, but nobody's there to support you. Your family isn't there, your coach isn't there, and you had a shitty year. Like, so it doesn't feel as good. Like, you want to win. Both for yourself, for your family, for your friends, for all of the hard days that you put in, that's what makes it worth it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with everything that you said there. Obviously the first time I won, it was a little bit different for me because I was coming off a second place finish and I just had this crazy drive and motivation to win. And I worked a lot that year for that win, sought out specialists, and I started working with Carpoli, Mike Burtner, just like sought out specialists with Yami to help me out to improve my game in every way that I could. And then coming off of that year, and I agree with you, like that, I don't remember the exact moment. Like, I don't remember the exact feelings that I felt when I got the medal around my neck. But I remember walking in through the tunnel at the stadium and Frederick came running towards me and then seeing Yami and Carl there. And then I could not wait to go out of the stadium to see my parents and hug them properly. And the amount of tears I shed with them and with my cousins. And there were so many people there supporting me that year from home as well. And therefore, it felt like just so much pressure going into 2012 because, like you said, especially when you're young, in your head, everything else seems like a failure because now you've won. You are the best. Yes, the number zeros out, but when you finish the games, you are the best in the world. You're the fittest woman in the world. I finally got that title, and I felt like I had to continue earning the right to use that title, even though I had won it for a year. So I didn't change that much about what I was doing. Yes, I just became more professional with everything I did. And by getting some money coming in as well, I was able to just continue doing what I was doing and support more trips to see more people that could help me achieve my goal of winning again, more coaches and so on. But then 2012, it just didn't start off the way I would have wanted it to start off. And somehow seeing like I wasn't able to win the games on Friday, before the last event on Friday night, I felt like I didn't stand a chance to win the games. It was just done. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing, and I just broke down. And I didn't feel the sadness of not being able to win the games. I felt the sadness of disappointing everyone that had helped me out. I felt like I was disappointing my parents. I felt like I was disappointing my coaches that had put so much work and effort into me. I felt like I was disappointing now I had sponsors. I felt like I was disappointing all of them. But I had to kind of, I had a really good talk with Carl Foley. And one of he's my gymnastics coach was at that time. And he was like, do you think your parents are going to be disappointed in you? And I was like, no, they can never be disappointed in me. And it was like, so what is it that's going on? I'm like, well, it's also you guys. And he's like, I couldn't be prouder of you. and everything that you do. You would never be able to disappoint me either. I wouldn't regret any minute that we spent on you, because I've gotten to know you. I've learned so much from everything we've done together, and just feeling that support helped me as well. And then I started thinking, you know what? My sponsors or partners, if they leave me, if I don't take first place, then it's not a real partnership. That's not a partnership I want to be in on either. And when I was able to just push all that out of the way, he was like, okay, so do you want to quit or do you want to continue? We can pull you out. We can say something happened and you can pull out and you can stop. Or you can go on the floor and knowing you can't win the games anymore. That's maybe not going to happen. Most likely it's not going to happen. But you can at least show all the hard work that you've put in this year. Like, you've put in so much hard work. Just go and enjoy being you. Just be Annie. And I was like, of course I'm not going to quit. I've never quit anything that I do. I would never quit. So instead of like soaking and feeling sorry for myself, it was such a good conversation because it gave me those two options. And I'm like, I'm never going to quit. So I might as well just try to enjoy being here and give people a show, because I am so much better than what has been going on. And went out winning the Friday night event, and I finally felt like I was me again. It was like a burden lifted off. But it shows you how big that mental state that you're in is in all of this. And it taught me that it's such a big part. And I don't think I realized until then. And ended up winning the games that year. And it was amazing as well. But first year, different from what was with you. But I feel like first year was even more significant for me. Second year, I learned more that year when I won the games that year. And yes, it was amazing. It was freaking awesome. Being the first woman in the world also to win the CrossFit Games twice. Was pretty freaking cool too. And I feel like it validated where I was, absolutely. But after that year, I actually got so many people around me asking me if I was really going to compete again, if I shouldn't quit while I was on the top. So many asking me that question that it got me thinking. I'm like, should I quit? Like, yeah, maybe I should leave when I've been so good, and then there's no way that I can fail. But I don't know. I also started asking myself the question, like, do I have to quit the sport that I love just because I'm the best at it? Does that mean that I have to quit doing what I love doing? And of course not. And you have no idea, throughout the years, I think I really realized how much I love this when I actually wasn't able to compete the year after because of my back injury. It made me realize how much this mattered to me. And I started learning to compete for myself after 2012, and not thinking about that. I just had to always, I'm so competitive. I'm always there to win the CrossFit Games. Like, that is just the way that I am. And I don't think I could change that. And I think I also said that I will quit when I don't believe that I can win the CrossFit Games anymore, because I'm not competing just to participate. It's just not who I am. But it still doesn't mean that getting second, third, fifth is a failure to me. As long as, like you said, you do everything that you can in the events. The hardest year for me was probably 2016, where I walked out of almost every single event feeling like I didn't do what I could do. I could always tell Frederick, my coaches, my family, I could have gone faster. I could have gone harder. I was just scared. I was so afraid after I got that heat stroke that I would get a heat stroke again. So that's when I started working with sports therapists to like work my way through that. And that took me a very long time to work my way properly through. But that was the one and only time my mom put her foot down as well after that year. And she's like, I will not come and watch you compete again unless you seek yourself some help. It's like, okay, mom. But yeah.
Such good support, though, because she knows you better than almost anybody in this world, and she could see that that wasn't you, and you weren't able to get Because you went really, really hard, that's who you are. You believe that your mind will always keep going longer, or your body will keep going longer than your mind. And that was
Yeah.
actually your mind pushed further that year, and he did push too hard, and it's very understandable. You had to pull out, and it was a really scary experience for you. So to then come back the next year and not be able to tap into your full potential, and not be able to tap into everything that you worked so hard for, and to see you be terrified versus excited to compete. And as your mom
Yeah.
who loves you so much, it's one of the most is a I believe it was a scary thing for her to say, but also the necessary. It's not the one that you wanted to hear, but probably the one that has been some of the most beneficial for you.
100%. It was miserable to walk out and be like, I am better than that. But I
Yeah.
feel like after those 2 years, everyone thought I was done. And I'm like, dude, I was fucking fit 2015. And I was really freaking fit 2016. I had to withdraw because of heat stroke. And then I was dealing with a lot of trauma after my heat stroke. So many difficult memories from being there and coming back there, being in the heat. I was just terrified that a whole competition. So your two best years, my two worst years,
Yeah.
right? Crazy. That's funny. But yeah, I think after going through all of that, and you learn so much by all of these experiences. But after going through this, people that don't really know you, they just watch the leaderboard, right? And then starting to see the comments like, oh, Annie's gone. Annie should just quit. And like, she should just stop while she's ahead. Or like, oh, she's done. She's so old. She's not in this sport anymore. Blah, blah, blah. Like all these shitty comments, right? And it just made me more motivated to be like, all right, I'll show you guys. I'm not done. And like with you there and Sarah there, it's like, oh, the new daughters, it's a new Annie. I'm like, no. Kat is her own identity. Kat is the new daughter, the cat that's up there, but she's not the new Annie. Like Sarah is Sarah, but we're all like, we build each other up because we're daughters. And that's like one of the identity that we've had. We've made Iceland known for the strong daughters that are here. But it's just funny that I started getting those comments, what, 2016? And here I am, 2022, and going on to 2023, and I'm still competing. And I really don't feel like you can say that I'm burned out or too old if I'm still capable of podiuming. That's just not the right thing to say. That's why I thought it was really funny when you started getting those comments too, and when Sarah started getting those comments. I'm like, you know what, you guys? First off, it's not anyone else's decision when your career should be over. Second, we're supposed to quit when we're on top, and then we're supposed to quit when we're not doing good enough anymore. Then we're supposed to make room for the younger athletes. I'm like, no. The younger athletes, they're going to strive. They're going to come for us. Yes, gun for me. Take me down. That's what we're there for. That's what Tia's done for this sport. Like, she pulls us up. I pull up. You pull up. We're all pulling each other up. And yes, I am so excited about the new generation that's coming. Finally, we're getting real new young girls' blood that's coming in there. That's going to be here for a decade. Who knows? But hell no, I'm not going to step to the side and just give it to them. They need to work for it.
Well, just as we did. And that's actually,
Exactly.
I mean, it is hurtful and it's also hysterical all at the same time, which is something that you have to learn to use. But I get comments like, well, you should retire, go have babies and retire. And it's like,
Yes.
wait, who are you to tell? Like, I'm not telling anybody else to quit their job and go do something else. Like, no matter, like, I don't know if you're good at your job or not, but I'm not going to tell you to go do something else. And it's always like on us, and the leaderboard doesn't always tell the whole story. And as long as we have the fire and the drive and the longing to do it, it is so strange to me that we get these comments of like, why do they have the needs to say that? But at the same time, I've always, and I've gone through this I feel like since 2015 of like telling myself that no matter what anybody says, like if the whole world is predicting like she's going to win this year, she's going to win this year, she's on the podium. A, you can take that as like, hell yeah, yeah, they all believe in me and use that as motivation, or you can take that as pressure. And the same if people are like, she's done, she should pretty much just retire. Again, you can take that as very defeating, like, oh my gosh, nobody believes in me, or you can take that as extreme motivation. You can show them that you belong there. So you can take it, and it just doesn't, ultimately, the bottom line is that it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't give you points. It doesn't take away points. All it is talk. And that's it. It's talk. So it's
exactly.
Like us to write our story and us to decide what we want to do. And it's ultimately always comes back down to us. But I will say it's still something that I just find is strange.
Yeah. Especially someone telling you to go and have babies and retire. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, sure. I'll do it since you told me to. I'm going to do it. That's really funny. You can also go have babies and then come back, right?
I do hope to, but I do hope that it's on my own timeline and when yeah. I make the...
Exactly. No, I don't know. I feel like it's actually hysterical when people do that. And honestly, by being out there, I feel like I'm also inviting people to have their, and honestly, everyone has the right to their opinions. Just don't put down actual facts and say that there are facts about me, but give your opinion on what you think on what I'm doing. I think I've just gotten used to that. And either I think it's hysterical, or I use it as a crazy motivator when people believe that I am just done or that I can't do anything, because I'm like, you're not me. I don't think anyone that's not me or in my inner circle is gonna know when it's my time to stop. But all I can say is that, like, I am grateful that I'm still here, and I am grateful I will stop when it doesn't make me happy anymore. And I am really excited for the future of CrossFit. Like, I am really excited about these. It was so fun. Also, I don't feel like I've gotten to know the girls that much, the newest ones that are coming in. But, like, competing at Rogues and seeing how they, like, carry themselves, present themselves, what they're doing. It's, yeah, it's, I'm excited for the girls that are coming in. I think they're gonna make it even harder to continue being on top of the sport. So that's what we want.
You think about like Mal and Emma, they are younger than we were when we started, or now they're at the same age. You know, Mal just turned 19. Think about how incredible she is. The level that she's at right now is she's the second best in the world at
incredible.
19. Already like, we've been through this whole, like, the sport is still so young, like so much trial and error, and you don't really know how to train, and you're figuring things out, and you make some mistakes and you adjust and you do some things right, and great, you keep doing them. And now she's under the wing of Matt Fraser, 5-time fittest in the world at 19, already at this level. You just think about the potential and what you can do.
Yeah.
And now I've gotten to train with her, and she is so, she has so much fire in her, and she is like, and you know that I think this about you and I love this, but like crazy in the best possible way of like, just like there are no breaks. And I love that of just like, she's so willing to like go out on a limb and just check what's possible and see what she can do. And that's so exciting. And like, I love when you like get to actually know somebody and you're like, wow, I'm really happy like for your success, because you've worked so hard for it and you want it so much. Like, she burns for this. And then Emma, I don't know her as well, but the same of like, I got to spend some time with her at the Noble Film Festival. And I love the way that she carries herself. And
me
I love
too.
Her. Yes, yeah, so she seems so clear to me. And just like, her family was awesome. And that excites me that the two of them have each other to like, they're going to be the ones that like, every sport needs a rivalry. That's a really hard word to say. Like, keep pushing and like keep elevating the standards, because you're saying like, Tia does that when she like, when she does something, we're like, oh, okay, this is the new standard, and now we need to do that. And like, I think about the time that Danny Spiegel started cycling the 70-pound dumbbell on snatches, remember?
Yeah.
Nobody pound snatch, and she went out and did it. And it was just all as if all of us were like, oh, that's what we do now. And there was like 10 of us that went out and cycled it. And it's so fun when somebody shows you a new standard, you're like, oh, that's what we're doing now. And I believe that the two
Exactly.
continue doing that for, let's say, the next 10 years in the sport. Like, who knows how long they're gonna last. So I just think that's very, I'm very excited for each one of them as individuals, what they can do, and then together what they can do for the sport. So couldn't agree more for you for like how exciting that is for the sport. And that's what we've gotten to do. That's what, like, why I feel so lucky that we've gotten to do this together this whole time. And we talk about it, like, if she can do it, so can I. Like, if I
Yes.
can do it's like, okay, like, I respect you so much as an athlete and so much for, like, I know how hard you work that I'm like, oh, like, I don't think I've ever been like, not like I get pissed because I want to win, but I'm not like ever like upset. Like, I know how good you are. And then you're like, okay, like, if she can do that, so can I. And like, how did you get there? And then vice versa. Like, if I beat you, you're like, oh, okay, that's what we need to be doing. And I believe that we're always elevating each other. So when one gets better, the other one has to elevate too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's how we become better. That's how we get better and get to where we are now, right? It is by wanting to become better, seeing others, keeping on breaking the barriers and improving. But that's why it's so hard because you need to continue to get stronger and faster and better at gymnastics and better at swimming and all of these different things. But that's why it continues to be exciting. That's why we're still here, because I still believe there's still potential that I can tap into. There's still things that I can continue to improve on and become better at. So as long as body holds up, I'm happy, enjoy doing what I'm doing. That's part of my process. Obviously, people are also different. I know that's what I thought was so interesting talking to Fraser as well, right? Because he was very different from us when he was in the situation of training. I'm very much like, ee, have fun, enjoy the journey. And he's like, work hard.
Yeah.
I need to have a good balance of both. Switch
Yes.
timer on and I'll be like, I'll bury myself and get frustrated if anyone is close to me. But yeah, in between, I need the happy, giggly, smiley, goofing around, and yeah, enjoy the
And that's
journey.
like, I feel like both of us are very similar in that way, and everybody's different in that way. And like you say, like, we're very different from Matt in that way. But he was so incredibly successful with what he did. And I don't think that
Exactly.
he did as we did, and we can't do the same as he does. But like, one of the things that, like, I even like remember kind of convincing myself of that, of like, because I believe that naturally both of us are very we just like naturally have a smile on our face, and we're very like light personalities. We like laughing a lot, and we like just like we like happy music. We just want to be in a good mood, and that's how we get the most out of ourselves. And then I believe that there is this like kind of like an image of like, if you're going to be the best, if you're going to do well, like, you need to be focused, and like, you need to be like, you can't be laughing, you need to be this. And I remember a year of like actually like trying to be more like almost like more like tough. Like, I need to be like tough, and I need to be like more focused, and I can't just be smiling before an event, you know, things like that. And it actually, like, it isn't me. It's so crazy that like it's as if you then start trying too hard, and you're not free to go compete to the best of your abilities. It's restricting in some manners because you're trying to do something. And then when the opposite, when I trust that like we know what we're doing, that if we can be us, and then when the timer goes off, there's nothing else but what you're doing. And you're like, that's just in our nature to go compete and be determined to get everything out. So like, I've felt like, and I feel the same for me, of those when we can be ourselves, and when we can just laugh and just me be you, me be me, and you be you. And then when we get out, 3, 2, 1, go, we're gonna go perform, like, and we're gonna be insanely focused and driven. But we don't have to try, we don't have to force it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was kind of like. I think it, different things work for different people. Yeah. Not everyone are going to enjoy the music that we enjoy to get motivated. Not everyone are going to be in the same, get fired up in the same way as we get fired up. And
yes.
It doesn't mean that we're not focused. It doesn't mean that after a training session, we might be, or after a workout, we might start crying or be frustrated or mad or whatever it is. We have a lot of feelings and emotions. Like, I think it's a part of when you bury yourself and you deplete your body fully, your emotions just come more easily to the surface. And outside of the gym, we're very focused, but we still, like you said, I think we're both very similar when it comes to we need to see family, friends, and be happy to be successful. Yeah. That's why Frederick, sometimes when I wanted to go too strict on my diet, he's like, Annie, you can have a piece of chocolate. It makes you happy. Like, on a Saturday before the CrossFit Games start on a Wednesday, I might still have like a scoop of ice cream because it makes me happy. It makes my soul feel good. And then I'll do that. But I limit it to Saturdays. but yeah, I think everyone has their own process and way to do things.
Yeah.
This was really fun. I think this was something that I wanted to talk about for a while, actually. Just wanting to also hear how it was for you when you won the games and then continuing. Because I think the best years, like you said, is when, and for me, is when I managed to take the pressure away. And it's usually after a whole, when people aren't really expecting that much, you're able to just be free and be you. So I think being able to figure that out sooner is going to be better. Like, that's something that I wish I would have been able to teach my young self. That's one of those things I would whisper to 19-year-old Annie. Yeah, do it for you. And like you said, when you're on the floor, there's no one else that's going to be doing the work for you. It doesn't matter how many people are cheering you on, how many people are saying that you can't do this, because their thoughts and opinions aren't going to affect your performance unless you allow it to.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. And just ultimately, like, the only things that are in your control are what you should be focusing on. And yes. I think that you need to start focusing on things that are out of your control, like your competitors or beating somebody else. That's when I think you start feeling that restriction, because it actually is not in your control. So when you're focused on it, yeah, of course, it's going to feel strange. And then I feel like those years, like you said, like when you have no pressure on you and people aren't watching you, I feel like you've kind of freed yourself off those expectations, and all you're trying to do is your best, and that's always within your control. And that's when we've unlocked our biggest, greatest accomplishments, performed our best, and enjoyed it the most, which is ultimately, like, back to the beginning of talking about winning, like, that's the whole thing. Like, yeah, there's a moment where you win, but it really was the whole journey of getting there, and like how you got there, who you did it with, what you overcame on the way. And like, that is the true win.
Agreed. That were the final words of this podcast. No.
So fun getting to, like, I love that I'm still hearing new things and learning new things from you, and like having this conversation. Like, we've had a conversation like this so many times, but like getting to dive deeper and like actually getting to hear what was going on in your mind, like, what did you experience that year, and like still learn those things about you. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. Likewise. I love the moment where you're talking about when I invited you to start training with me.
Yeah.
That's funny. Because, like, I don't remember the exact moment. I just remember that I watched you and I'm like, oh, dang, I got excited. It's like, there's a lot of potential in her. And then I remember talking to Elva. I'm like, I think we should train with her. Yeah. We can make her better.
And that was such a cool standout memory for me.
That's really
fun. So much to me.
Mm.
Annie, All right.
All
I
right.
love you.
Love you, girl. Thank you, guys. And again, any specific things that you want to hear, you can leave it in comments and we will get to it at some point. And yes, by all means, you can make any comments you want about what we should do in our future. All right. Thank you, Kat.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. Bye.
Bye. Thank you guys for watching the Daughter Podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and check us out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.